A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NHL season is almost here, and our hockey betting experts are ready for all the action. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get our all-new NHL betting guide featuring previews for all 32 teams, futures bets, award picks, and season-long props, first period betting strategies, Steve Mackinnon's power ratings, plus best bets articles 5 days a week once the season starts. This guide is a must-have with key insights and data for both avid hockey bettors and those new to the sport. Give yourself an edge this season and get the VSiN NHL betting guide by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber today at VSiN.com/subscribe. And ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Bidlin's contribution is this to the NHL hockey.
Connor Bedard. He's great.
Connor Bedard.
75-1 to be your regular season top goal scorer. I just looked it up.
He just shouts it throughout the betting guide. Connor Bedard.
He's going to be a stud. You know what? I get faked out. You got to get the NHL betting guy. Get that now. We got NBA coming out later this week, but working hard on that. You know what blows me away every time you see hockey stuff on the crawl? Hmm. We've brought this up a couple times. We're like, people sign like 8-year extensions and stuff like that. It always blows your mind.
Yeah.
There was a couple yesterday where I think it was like the Ducks leading goal scorer from a year ago. It's like, 21-year-old blah, 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 re-signs with the Ducks, led the team in scoring last year. I'm like, wait, what? Like, at age 20, he led the team in scoring? Like, they're so young. It's just amazing.
It is amazing. 8-year extension. Maybe that's your next deal, is an 8-year extension. You never know.
That's quite a lot of years.
NFL adjusted season win totals. Again, this is a whole new world the last few years. These didn't used to exist. First of all, season win totals. We think that this is, you know, from the birth of Christ that season win totals has existed. No, Jimmy Vaccaro in 1989, some dude in a cowboy hat walked up and was like, the Cowboys were supposed to stink. And he goes, how many games do you think they're going to win this year? Jimmy was like, I don't know. I'll think about it for a little while. He thinks about it. He says 5.5. The guy goes way over. I think he went over. They ended up winning one game that year, 1989. They beat Washington, by the way. Doug Williams started that game for Washington. But that's when season win total started. Adjusted season win totals, the concept of having this go throughout the season week after week, this is like 3 years old in legalized sports betting.
I will never forget the day when I told Gil Alexander that DraftKings had him posted to talk about it.
Oh.
You were like, what? What are you talking about? Yes. They have them posted. We used to do this all the time. I've never seen it legalized anywhere. This is incredible.
For those who listen to the Betting Dork and Beating the Book podcast for years, I used to talk about this. Oh, I've got this off the grid stock market, you know, win totals thing that I do. Okay, so getting right to it. You asked me this question off the cuff yesterday, right? And off the cuff, you're like, oh, what do you think a great adjusted season win total will be? Off the cuff, I said the Arizona Cardinals over 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was without researching anything.
Yeah.
I still think that's a good answer. I have a couple better ones, though, I think.
All right.
Now, Kelly and I don't usually talk about what we're going to talk about because we like to keep it loose and sort of honest and organic on the show. But it just so happened that before this show, we somehow drifted into both of us doing research on this last night. And it came up that we both came to the same conclusion about the NFC South. What we mean by that is, your instinct is to say, oh, my God, Atlanta Falcons, 9.5. That seems like an under. And you can apply this to different teams in the NFC South. Their schedules are so easy that you can't make a bet on, like, the Falcons, the Saints, or the Buccaneers because those schedules are so pats, like, they're so easy that your instinct to go under, while they may still happen, you're just like, I don't know. Like, it's just what's the opposite of a gauntlet? Whatever that is. It's just like every week is
easy. Cakewalk.
Yeah, cakewalk.
There you go.
Now, I will make this one exception, and this is one of the ones that I like better than the Arizona Cardinals. The Panthers to the under. I'm the guy with the Panthers winless, right? The Panthers to the under is still something that I think you have to consider. What's the Panthers number? 4.5, is it, right now?
Four and a half right now. I don't know about you, but if you...
How are you getting 5 wins?
It's going to be tough.
How are you getting 5 wins on that schedule?
Unless Bryce Young starts looking like a completely different... I don't even want to put it all on him. Like, who would have... Nobody would have guessed that Adam Thielen would be by far their best wide receiver because nobody else can get any separation whatsoever. And Bryce Young, when he's in there, is struggling massively. There's issues on this offensive line. I expected the defense to be better. It's not.
At Detroit, at Miami, bye. Okay. I think you're 0 for there. And then here's the rest of your year. Can you get 5 wins out of this? Home Houston, home Indianapolis, at Chicago. Okay. Let's even give them 2 there.
Okay.
Home Dallas, at Tennessee, at Tampa, at New Orleans, home Atlanta, home Green Bay, at Jacksonville, at Tampa Bay. Could you? You could, but I think the instinct has to be under.
I think so, too, but it just goes back to the whole NFC South conversation of I'm not super confident
it
in
is an easy schedule.
Teams.
It's a super easy schedule.
Like, could they pick 1 or 2 of those off?
Now, here's the real answer to the question. So those are just like Arizona's off the cuff. Carolina's just on a perusal thing where you're like, oh, those seem like they're great adjusted season win totals. Arizona to the over, Carolina to the under. But the way to really do this is to see where the market improperly adjusted or did not adjust. And so from last week to this week, the team that sort of raises, you know, a flag or sort of makes you, what's the expression, lift your eyebrow or raise your eyebrows about is, and this is not going to be sexy to some people, the Tennessee Titans were 8.5 last week. They end up beating the Cincinnati Bengals badly as a dog, by the way, and they're still at 8.5. The Tennessee Titans, and by the way, the over and plus money, the over is still plus money on the Tennessee Titans. So for me, the answer to this question, where the best value actually lies, forget about my off-the-cuff opinions about the Cardinals over and the Panthers under, is actually Titans to the over, who are currently 2-2, and their adjusted season win total is 8.5, because it did not get adjusted from last week when they were an underdog to the Cincinnati Bengals. And if you go to the Titans, to their schedule right here, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, God, Titans over. I don't want to live through that. Hey, I didn't say this was going to be fun.
Yeah, that's me.
But if you go to the Titans schedule, the games before their bye, at Indianapolis, home Baltimore, home Atlanta, at Pittsburgh right after the bye. Should we give them a 2-2 there?
At least, yeah.
Right, let's give them a 2-2. Let's be conservative.
Yeah, I'm about as big of a Titans hater as it gets, and I'll give them 2-2.
Okay, so that's 4-4. Let's go to the next 4 games. At Tampa, at Jacksonville, home Carolina, home Indianapolis. I mean, that's a 2-2 at worst, it feels
two
like.
2-2 there.
All yeah, right, we'll so that's 6-6. They only got to win 3 more in their last 5. At Miami, home Houston, home Seattle, at Houston. So there's 2 Houston games in there. And then home Jacksonville to close it out. Based on the lack of adjustment in the adjusted season win total market, I think the answer to the question is the Tennessee Titans over. Because there's no reason why that number should have stayed at 8.5 after beating the Bengals. Your thoughts, sir?
Okay, that was not one I picked up on. Yeah. Not one that jumped out to me, but
that is the way to do this, right? Look at what the numbers were last week, figure out what appropriately adjusted, what did not, and then go from there.
Yeah, I think that two of the teams that I isolated, they are two teams that I bet unders on already this season, and the numbers just really haven't moved a whole lot through 4 games, where I think the perception of what I had about these teams before the season has played out much more in reality. It's the Patriots and the Steelers. So you're looking at win totals for both of those teams. Patriots set at 7.5, Steelers set at 8.5. That's right about where they were preseason. And the Steelers are having all kinds of offensive problems. Both these teams having all kinds of offensive problems. The defenses haven't looked bad, but you just start, you know, bringing up the schedules, and it's trying to figure out where each one of these teams is going to get 7 more wins. And it's just, it's tough. I mean, Patriots, you've got Saints at home, on the road at the Raiders, Bills at home, on the road at the Dolphins. That's 2-2 at best to me, Gil. You got home against the Commanders, home against the Colts, at the Giants, home against the Chargers, at the Steelers, home against Chiefs, at the Broncos, at the Bills, Jets at home. It's hard for me to come up with 7 more wins on that schedule to get over 7.5, and it's basically the same thing with the Steelers. So I'm being pretty boring here because I'm going back to 2 that I played already, so I'm not going to be adding on here. I did say, since we're both betting the Cardinals this week, I think Cardinals over 4.5.
Yeah.
Betting it this week is so quarterly.
Because I think they might win that game.
Yeah. You almost have to play that.
I had the same reaction, though, to the 2 that I had pre-flop. So I had the Giants alternate low. low under 6.5 at plus 185. Well, they're 5.5 now.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and be like, hey, Giants 5.5. I have got it way better 4 weeks ago at plus money at an even higher number. And then with Washington, I had the alternate win total on higher on the over, which was 7.5. It's still 7.5, but my over 7.5 is plus 190. So that number is not nearly as good as it was then. Do I think it's probably still good? Yeah, but it's not a bet because, again, it's not the big bang for your buck.
No, I hear you. But if I hadn't, I don't know about you, if I hadn't bet Pittsburgh and New England unders before the season, I would be betting.
You would still be. Yeah. You would still do it. Okay. It's fascinating to look at. Each and every week, these are adjusted. And as the runway gets shorter, the value, which is already pretty sparse, to be honest with you, will dwindle even further. We'll come back. Will Hill, all of his baseball bets today, college football, pro football, all his thoughts, and his wagers on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's promo code VEGAS. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin from Bar Canada at the D doing a numbers game here. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Anthony A. Perriello. Hope I pronounced that okay. PSA, looks like the BetMGM Sports app is now part of the hack. Accounts being locked out and drained. All kinds of reports this morning. Las Vegas locally was on this. I have people I know who have texted me. They're like, I can't get into my account.
This is one of
it's bad. Dude.
This is one of those because you did it to me this morning. Text your friends. Be a friend.
Text your friends.
Be a pal.
Text your friends.
Help someone out today. There's no problem with taking money out of an account and putting it back in 2 weeks later or whatever. Once you know, this thing has gotten cleaned up.
And also, Caesars, I just want to say this for the 5,000th time. Please. Your app is horrible enough. Now we have an extra layer at the top we got to go through again that changed. Or, I don't know, maybe I'm talking to the hackers. No. Maybe the hackers changed it. I don't know.
I thought that was just like a one-time thing yesterday. Is that every time now?
Oh, no. I'm like, what are we doing?
I'm sure it isn't. I'm sure it's in response to the hackers.
Oh, maybe that's
it. I would guess it is.
But it's like, Fezzik has the best line about this. If you told me that they were doing things to prevent people from betting, I would believe you better than I would actually getting people to bet.
It's just so tough because they're one of the few shops in town that have the, like, live numbers are up always, right? They're doing algorithm-based live betting. They're always up. So they're one of the first shops you want to say, oh, let me jump to them right away because I know the number will be up. Well, that's a great thought, but if it takes you 5 minutes to get there because of activation codes and face ID, and then it's going to spin around and kick you
out. Like a college football Saturday, you can't bet in game. Like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible. After a while, you don't even try anymore. You're like, there's no point in doing this. And Eric Biggio, we love you. But
we do. Yeah. Thanks for tweeting the show. I mean, the other thing, they changed the teasers too. If I need to post another teaser tutorial video on my Twitter, I will. But I guess just tweet at me if you have an issue with that too.
You should not need to have a teaser tutorial. This is from good friend Shillionaire. Oh, I like that. So the opposite of a gauntlet is a buffet. Also, what's the promo code again? Okay. Titans Insider.
A-N-G.
A-N-G. Titans Insider. I bet he liked that Titans segment. He goes, yeah, now you're talking my language. Titans 10 wins, baby. Said Titans up. Nevada Azer. Agree on the Titans. Potential for a surprising divisional result as their competitors are underperforming. Vrabel Coach of the Year, 35-1, he says, is a play. Hmm. D-Gen Southern Gen.
Oh, boy. You're starting up the Titans hype train again.
No, I didn't mean to. I'm just saying.
This defense sucks.
Yeah, I did not mean to start up the hype train. D-Gen Southern Gent. Clearly, Kelly has not seen the Mel Brooks classic History of the World Part 1 that Fezzik mentioned on Monday. One of the lost commandments on Moses' broken tablet read, Coach Tomlin shalt not have a losing season, he says. That's exactly right.
I've seen that, too.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some NFL power rankings.
Boom.
With this big intro. NFL Power Rankings.
Plug it in and power it up. Plug NFL it in. Power Rankings. I don't. There we go.
There we go. 107.5 The Bone. Sorry. It just came out.
NBA Media Days, by the way. So many great little little nuggets that come out of everyone. Go check out the Trey Murphy video of him having to record radio liners.
Oh.
Because it is one of those, like, as someone's been, NBA Media Days, it's one of those uncomfortable things you have to do every year where it's like, hey, like, Dwayne Wade, I need you. Can you read, like, these 8 things after we get done interviewing?
Oh, so, yeah.
And it's like, catch this afternoon show, blah, 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 blah. Trey Murphy does one of those. It's for one of those radio networks that has all the different, like, they have a country station. They have a hip-hop station, right? He goes into character, like, for every single one, and it is fantastic.
We used to have to do that when I was in R&B radio. And by the way, I got my Tony ticket last night. Just want to, who amongst us hasn't? But we used to have to do those promos with all these, like, one-hit wonders. There's this guy,
because someone would come into the studio for an interview, or you'd book someone for an interview, and then afterward you ask him to record a few liners. That's how it works in the business.
It was like a music video days. He'd be like, hey, I'm Keith Washington. There's this guy, one hit wonder, Keith Washington, a song, Slow Jam, called Kissing You. But Keith Washington had to come in and do that. Hey, I'm Keith Washington. I'm a music video connection, or whatever it was. When I tell you he did it 26 times before he got it right, I am probably not exaggerating. So
that's usually how they go.
It's like, Keith, it's just one sentence. Let's get through it. All right. The reason we do NFL, what are we doing? Oh, NFL power rankings.
Yeah, sorry,
the reason we do NFL power rankings, again, for those who are like, why do we care what your power rankings are? Everybody should do this in some fashion, whether you couch it as power rankings, whether it is your actual numerical ratings done by a model or anything in between. It serves as just a good sort of foundation for your NFL picks. Much like guessing lines is a great way to start your week, this is a great way to sort of, and I said this last week, Kelly, it's a sort of good way to check your recency bias. If a team has a terrible performance one week, rather than you immediately toggling to, oh my God, this team is terrible, the power rankings sort of helps you keep it in check in context where you're like, oh, I can't really knock them down that far. They're still a good team. It just gives you that kind of reminder.
Yes, agreed.
Not much change at the top. None at the very top for me. 49ers are 1, Chiefs are 2, Eagles are 3. The Bills, Dolphins, and Cowboys are doing a little dance in 4, 5, 6, and the dance has the Bills at 4 now, the Dolphins at 5, and the Cowboys at 6. They could go either way on those.
Yeah.
I think the Bills deserve to be ahead of the Dolphins, though, that's for sure. At this point.
Definitely. And we had the conversation last week where was there a top 5, and then was there a top 6 with the Bills? And yes, I think there is.
I think there's a top 6. For sure there's a top 6. Now, the Ravens are my 7. The Ravens have been in my top 10 the whole year. They do nothing but figure out a way to win. And Drew Dinsick, I thought, had a great point yesterday on the show, which is how some of these teams, like the Seahawks on Monday night, are able to overcome cluster injuries.
Yeah. The Ravens are so banged up.
The Ravens are so banged up, and yet they just keep them coming. Keaton Mitchell, for you fantasy players out there, that's their rookie running back that they want to feed this week. So Keaton Mitchell is a guy that they showcased in the preseason. They just have him. They just keep coming up with players. Owen Wright still sitting on the practice squad. He'll come up next. I got the Ravens at 7. I got the Seahawks at 8. I think I've had the Seahawks almost every week in my top 10. I think every week but 1. They're number 8. To me, they're still super solid. And I know people are going to gasp. I have the Chargers at 9. I know they're only 2-2. I know we like to make fun of them. But talent-wise and just what they could be, they're still 9 to me. I do have the Browns at 10. I know they got crushed, but it wasn't Deshaun Watson. So I didn't, like, completely penalize them for that.
Yeah.
So they remained
starting
at
quarterback
10.
Wasn't playing. Yeah.
Though, can I tell you who my 11 was? My 11 was, now I'm forgetting it, was not Detroit. My 11 was the Rams.
Well, you had them, I think, a couple weeks ago in the top, 10 or 9 or 10. Yeah.
The interesting question becomes, where do you put the Cardinals? Are they top half or are they bottom half?
That's great. I was going to make a joke about being top 10 as you were setting up that intro. But I'm going to start with my 10th team here because it is I think you just laid it out so well for the Chargers, where you hit a point where you're doing these, where especially it's a little bit earlier in the season, where you hit a point where you have to just judge some of these teams based on what your overall thoughts are of the talent of the roster.
Yes.
And there's not so many teams that you can put ahead of them.
If not them, then who?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So they are who I put at 10. I did consider the Seahawks. Seahawks would be right there, 10, 11. But it was even that conversation in my head. I'm like, well, I think the Chargers have a more talented team overall than Seattle. So I put them 10. Lions remain 9 for me this week.
Yeah, they were 12 for me.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Browns dropped down a spot for me to 8, but yeah, I'm not going to... That is more because of other teams rising than them really falling. I'm not punishing them too much for losing a game without their starting quarterback. Ravens up to 7 for me, so 7. We have the same, what, top 7 teams just in different orders.
Yep.
So 7 for me for Ravens. And me and you have had them both 7 for, I think, 2 or 3 straight weeks now. Like, it feels like that's exactly where they belong. Until one or two things happen, right? Either they get all these guys back and they start looking even better than they have, or they start losing some games badly, maybe partially because of injuries, and we have to downgrade them a bit. Dolphins go to 6 to me. Eagles slide down to 5. I'm just a little bit more confident with those two other NFC teams right now, Guild, 49ers and Cowboys. Chiefs to 4. I'm not trying to punish them, but still haven't seen a game out of them where it feels like they've put every single thing together outside of that Chicago game, and I'm not putting much weight into that. Cowboys up to 3, still think there's a lot of talent on that team, and Bills, I just can't deny it anymore right now. What they look like offensively and defensively, the way they've changed this offense personnel-wise with the 2 tight end set, that could be a major difference this year, so I'm vaulting them up to 2. Love me some Josh Allen. 49ers number 1, I think they got to be number 1 right
now. Yeah, I had Bills at 4, but they could just as easily be 3 or 2 also. Where did you have the Seahawks?
Seahawks would be right at 11.
Right at 11.
That's where I was kind of making that Chargers-Seahawks, yep, like in my head.
And who is your 32?
Oh, got to be Panthers.
Panthers.
Got to be.
Without Panthers, question, yeah. It's the Panthers. Yeah, to me. And I know a lot of people are like, what do you mean without question? What about the Bears? I think it's the Panthers for sure. 32.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pritchard will join us on the other side to talk NFL. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk baseball. Josh Towers on baseball. And, of course, Jay Rude will join us as well. Talk about where he is in the industry these days. Tell some stories. DK Network, Dan Le Batard is next. We're coming back at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in, we appreciate it. Gil Alexander is Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. At the D.
At the D.
Jay Rude still to come this hour? They're not booing. They're saying rude in the background when it comes. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Josh Towers on Major League Baseball. Let's bring in one of our favorites. He is kind enough to join us each and every Wednesday. A VSiN host and a man who played the game. What was that old Howard Cosell biography or book that he read? It was like, I never played the game. This guy played the game. Played it at the highest level for multiple teams in the NFL. Number one pick for the Falcons back in 1991, was it? We'll get the word on that. Maybe it wasn't 91. Mike Pritchard, everybody. National champion at Colorado. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm great. Good morning. Yeah, way back then, 1991.
All right. So Colorado, I'm interested to hear what you have to say here, because obviously they win their first 3 games. Obviously, the Colorado State game was nip and tuck with the Travis Hunter injury. Then they get blasted by Oregon, but against USC, while it looked like it was going to be much of the same in the first half, they ended up making it very respectable. They end up losing by 7, 48-41. And now, as I said the other day, they get to pick on teams their own size here moving forward here. At least this week they do. How do you feel about them after? How do you feel about the Buffaloes after that performance against the Trojans?
You know, I felt great about the Buffaloes all season long, really, Gil and Kelly. I mean, it's been as expected, I think. You know, I don't think anybody out there thought that CU is going to beat Oregon or beat SC. Now, covering a number is different, right? And so at home in Boulder, maybe that was a better chance for the Buffs to cover that number, that big number against the Trojans. On the road against Oregon, no. I mean, think about it this way, too. Like, established programs. Like, when you think about TCU, yeah, they went to the playoff. I don't play for a national championship. But they haven't really established themselves as a blue blood, if you will, a team that's going to routinely play for a championship. Same thing with Nebraska, you know, rebuilding. Same thing with CSU, kind of trying to get their feet wet and trying to find out what kind of program they can be. But established programs like Oregon and SC, I mean, that was really the true test of a rebuilding effort for Deion Sanders and Coach Prime and his staff. So now they're facing a team on the road as a favorite, which is interesting. Similar circumstances to trying to get the program in the right direction, making sure that they can recruit and be consistent. So I think it's an even matchup. I like how you phrased it. You know, teams that are probably in their wheelhouse. And so a competitive roster, a more confident roster. I'm feeling pretty good about the Buffs this weekend.
Yeah, at Arizona State this week and then a home game against Stanford before they have a week off. Would you lay the 3.5 at ASU this week?
You know, I'm sitting on over 3 wins, so
this could be it.
Waiting for that bad boy. Yeah, this could be it. I'm waiting for that bad boy. And, you know, my superstition nature of myself, I'm not going to mess with the game from a betting standpoint that way.
Okay.
I just want to cash it over.
Okay. Yeah, I think you will. I think that's a pretty safe bet right now. What could go wrong, Pritch? What could go wrong at this point?
Right.
Yeah, get back to us in 3 weeks. Okay. We're like, oh, no.
I know. Thank you very much, Gil, for that.
Yeah, that's right. All right. I'm going to leave this open-ended for you as a former player. What in the first 4 weeks of the NFL season, and you can answer this any way you want. Maybe it's about a specific team. Maybe it's about some macro thing that the layman doesn't notice. But what has struck you in the first 4 weeks of the NFL season where you say to yourself, oh, I didn't see that, or that's something new that we ought to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how sexy it is or anything, but quarterback play has not been outstanding, right? I don't know if it's been a difference, Mick. I think Josh Allen has made a difference up in Buffalo, especially when you go up against Miami and what they recently did. You know, Matt Stafford, what he's doing with the Rams and Nacua, you know, that's more coaching, I think. But look at how, you know, so many teams are stumbling out the blocks right now, like Cincinnati. I mean, my goodness, they're not in sync at all offensively. You know, it was supposed to be better in New Orleans with Derek Carr. That's sputtering. Green Bay is sputtering with the new quarterback there. And Jordan Love, I know people were excited to see it, but it's sputtering a little bit. Just from a team total standpoint, they just all seem low. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, not struggling, but certainly not picking up where he left off, if you will, in terms of the style of play and how he was playing at the end of the year. So it's going to take some time to iron all that out. I think we're in a month to where we'll probably see that marked improvement at that particular position. But for that first 4 weeks, you know, it was underwhelming. I mean, it has been. I mean, the disappointing nature of Aaron Rodgers, too, and that quarterback. So we never really see that materialize, right? And some of these other younger quarterbacks that we're excited about, C.J. Stroud is incredible, but we'll see what happens when teams kind of catch up to those players. But I think all in all, that's been a surprising element of the National Football League, or at least to the start of this season.
Can you draw a direct line from a lot of these teams not playing their guys in the preseason to this? Is that part of it?
You know, I was trying to do that, but then how do you explain Pittsburgh, right? Pittsburgh and that offense looked great in the preseason.
Right.
But they're sputtering. One of the worst offenses in the league right now. You know, you think about Jimmy Garoppolo and the Raiders. That's supposed to be better because you get rid of Derek Carr for somebody you're familiar with, if he's Josh McDaniels, but you're sputtering. You're not cohesive. You're not even in sync. So it's been surprising. Like the Dobbs out there with the Cardinals. I mean, that's a more competitive situation only because of how I believe the entire league has really come down a few notches.
Let's talk about, you brought up Burrow and the Bengals. Let's talk about that for a second. So, I mean, no one thinks that Joe Burrow is anything but among the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League. Yet he has this injury in the preseason, which we all saw from afar, right, by that viewpoint, a calf injury. And, you know, Ja'Marr Chase is like, please don't play, please don't play. And he is, in fact, playing, and he's not playing well. He's got no mobility. They're always in shotgun. He can't get out of it once there's any pressure. And right. So he is a shell of what we know him to be. Everything, and obviously T. Higgins is out now, too. But everything seems out of sync. And I guess what I'm asking is, is it possible that a team can just, based on one injury, it throws off everything and that they can't actually ever recapture it. Is that like, is that a thing?
I believe so. I believe so. I mean, look at the backup quarterback situation, right? It's Jake Browning, I think, is a backup quarterback. So when you don't have a Joe Burrow type of quarterback, and who really does, you know, you're looking at the backup situation. Championship teams are teams that are poised to make a run. They have a capable backup, right? And somebody that, okay, the starter is, whether it's a vet day or not, the starter's not participating. So can we oil up our offense? Can we still get a good look? Can we still get the work in that we need to get in? And, you know, that's a big drop-off when you think about going from Joe Burrow to Jake Downing in terms of, okay, what are we going to do to prepare this offense? And you're seeing that from an offensive line standpoint, no running game, selective and play calling too, because like you said, primarily in shotgun. So there's not a lot of options out there other than can Joe Burrow get healthy? And when he is healthy, can we get this revved up again? And, you know, that to me is not how you want to go into a season as a Super Bowl front runner. I mean, I think a lot of people had the opinion that that roster and experience level of that team had them poised to make a run at that Super Bowl this year.
I've asked you some form of this question before. I might even ask you last week, but I think it's great to hear from someone who's been on the inside of this, because as we as fans and as bettors, we watch these teams perform poorly early in a season, like the Bears, like the Panthers,
right,
like the Giants. And we watch, and yes, we're betting into, you know, first coach fired markets. We're doing that. But we're also speculating on, man, this team is like, the coach is going to lose them, or their season could be done if they lose this game this week, because they're already going to be 1-4 or whatever it is, 0-5 in some cases, and it's just going to fall off a cliff. What, as you look at these teams, and just with your sort of Malcolm Gladwell blink instinct on this, which is the team that you observe and you're like, oh boy, they are in the worst shape of all of them?
Yeah, you look for the most dysfunctional situation, I think, right? You know, having been a part of that in Atlanta, like, we had a good roster, just underachieving and dysfunctional, and it led to Coach Glanville getting fired. And, you know, if you think about Ken Harrock and Jerry Glanville not on the same page, then you needed some kind of similar mind thinking, if you will, in terms of the front office and the coaching staff. So I know a lot of rumors are out there about Matt Eberflus. Now, I'm careful about that because I know Ryan Poles, and they have the same agent, right? It's like Cliff Kingsbury and Klein out there in Arizona. They kind of attached at the hip a little bit. So I know there's some rumblings that he could be the first coach fired, but it is dysfunctional right now. So we'll see about that. But yeah, I think I would gravitate towards the most dysfunction or disconnected teams. And you can get that information. So there's some great insiders out there. Just follow them on Twitter for each and every team in that situation. And you can gauge that level of dysfunction out there for these teams.
What's your instinct tell us, though? Who is it?
I mean, if Staley keeps underperforming, then they got a big win against the Raiders, but that might have saved them. I mean, Rivera not going for two. What's going on with that? There's a lot of candidates right now. But Eberflus, you know, that rumbling is getting louder and louder. It's just the relationship that he has with the GM makes it difficult for me to kind of pull the trigger on that.
Wasn't trying to get you to focus in on a coach, just the team in general. It's fascinating.
Yeah. There's a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's going around. Mike, always a pleasure. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard on the old Twitter machine. Jason Weingarten's under a cloud of smoke. He's got baseball thoughts. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.